From KQED.
From KQED Science, I'm Danielle Venton. The number of transgender people has doubled in the last decade, yet transgender patients still struggle to get the health care they need. And many doctors aren't equipped to provide proper care. Jimena Lopez is a pediatric endocrinologist in Texas who provided a window into this world at last year's TEDMED conference. KQED Science reporter Leslie McClurg caught up with her in Palm Springs.
Who was your first transgender patient?
He goes by Tyler. He was 9 years old, and he came to see me 5 years ago.
And since this was your first time treating someone who wanted to suppress puberty, were you ready? Did you have the knowledge to do that, to navigate that?
I was not prepared at all because we don't get any training on medical school or residency or my subspecialty training to care for transgender children. So I had no training whatsoever. I remember that first appointment very clearly, and I was shocked by how passionate these parents were and how desperate. I mean, I think the most striking thing was how desperate the parents were for help. They told me we prefer to have a living son than a dead daughter. We will do anything for his mental health. And that, I couldn't leave things just there and say goodbye. So I went to the mental health team in my hospital, and they said, well, we have no experience whatsoever. The only time we've seen transgender patients is when they're trying to commit suicide. That's the only experience we have when they're admitted for that in the psychiatric unit. Then with some guidance with these doctors back from Boston, I started to provide puberty suppression.
And was that a difficult decision? Did you kind of wrestle with whether or not it was right to suppress puberty? Like maybe this child would wake up one day and actually determine that she did want to be a girl.
Actually, not at all. This kid was really distressed about the female changes that were happening in his body, like incredibly distressed. I don't want to describe exactly, but it was really heartbreaking, and I had no doubt. I mean, one thing about the puberty suppression piece of things is that it's an overall reversible step to give time, to buy time, to explore gender identity, even if it's not clear.
And this is called gender dysphoria, when someone is born and feels like their gender is different than their biology. Mm-hmm. Is there any doubt in your mind that gender dysphoria is a choice?
No. That's what I've learned from my patients. When I see them, they come is because they've had years of denial, mourning for that child that they're losing, and then accepting that child when they realize it's not a choice and it's not going to change, no matter what they do.
The statistics are not good in terms of suicide and self-harm, et cetera, for the transgender community. How big a difference does it make if their parents embrace them and accept them?
When parents are not supportive, the risk of suicide attempt can be as high as 60%. And when parents are very supportive, it can be as low as 4%.
Do we know scientifically what's going on? Do we have any understanding of hormonally or what's sort of going on in the body that might create this experience?
So there's very little known. We do know that if one identical twin is transgender, the odds of the other twin of being transgender is 40 to 60%. So what that says is that there's actually probably a genetic link, because that's a high prevalence for genetic diseases, but it's not 100%. There are new brain imaging studies, they're called functional MRIs, that looked at size of certain parts of the brain or the movement through certain parts of the brain, and they're not huge differences, but subtle differences between like regular males and females. And actually, transgender people have differences that put them more aligned with the gender they identify with.
So their brains are actually acting more like the gender that they identify with.
Exactly.
Fascinating. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Support for KQED Science is provided by the S.D. Bechtel Jr. Foundation, Hope Lab, and the Dirk and Charlene Kabsonell Foundation.